sweep our community and send us, Lord, throughout the world.
Is everybody okay? Is this a little bit loud? Maybe take it down quite a bit. How's everybody doing this morning? Go ahead and close your eyes again. I have a word, and that's for a few people, but I believe it relates to a lot of individuals here this morning. I want to take it down just a little bit more. Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity, being able to gather together. We thank you that Holy Spirit is here already amongst us. We thank you, Lord, for the worship that you include us in, the privilege of being able to sit at your feet and to worship the King of the universe. We thank you, Jesus, that you are not one of the kings. You are the King of kings. You are the Lord of lords. You are the Most High God. We thank you for including us in your purposes and plans. Most importantly, that you allow us to be your sons and daughters in this place. Just keep your heads bowed for a minute here. The two young ladies that were worshiping up here, I've got a word for you, but I believe the Spirit of God's saying that it relates to a few others here. The gentleman I talked to yesterday that's sitting over here to the right, we talked towards the end of the service. You're asking me questions about your employment situation and various things. And I just feel the Lord wants you to know, the Spirit of God would say, that I am doing something new in your life. Even you have been surprised and almost fearful in one sense. Is this really happening? Or will I go back and become the same person I used to be? The Lord wants you to know that it's He that has started this work, and He will complete it to the day of Christ Jesus. That once there was rejection, but rejection does not identify who you are any longer. Amen. He is pulling out the spirit of rejection. There's still shrapnel, there's still pieces, there's remnants of the past. But as you don't live in the past, but you live in what the Spirit of God is saying, you will find those things begin to become little by little removed from your life. For it's the Lord renewing you. And again, I almost sense that there's a, whether it's a fear or just an apprehension, it's like, could this really be that I don't have to live with the sting of this pain any longer? The Lord wants you to know, though you might remember the pain, yet the pain is not yours any longer. You can let it go once and for all, for it is the Lord Jesus that you have met, and He is doing something beautiful in your life. He is pulling out even now the root of rejection in many, the shame that once marked you, that you would walk into a room and think that everybody knew about your past and what had happened when you were a young girl, a young boy. But people don't know what's happened, but yet you have felt that. It's because of the spirit, a spirit of shame. And I take my authority in Jesus Christ this morning, and I break the power of shame over these individuals here this morning. They will not live in shame any longer. I command the spirit of shame to be uprooted, the spirit of rejection. We reject rejection here this morning in this place. And we say, Jesus is Lord. And we command it to loose this people right now because of Jesus. We say, the blood of Jesus is against you. Jesus is Lord. Can you repeat after me? Jesus is Lord. Come on, say it like you mean it. Jesus is Lord. Look up here for a minute. Let me just give you a little appetizer. I kind of like go to a restaurant and they bring out those fried cheese sticks at the beginning or some kind of sticky rolls. You don't overcome negative thoughts with trying to shove in positive thoughts. You overcome negative thoughts with positive words that create positive thoughts. How many times we're trying to overcome the things of our past? And the Bible clearly says in the book of Revelation, if you don't mind me jumping right into it, okay? It says in the book of Revelation, the accuser of the brethren, Satan, accuses day and night, day and night, day and night. He's constantly accusing you to God, God to you, you to your spouse to you, you to your friends, your friend members in the church. He's constantly accusing, and his number one weapon is fear. It's fear. Is it any wonder why it says in the Bible hundreds and hundreds of times the most common phrase in the Word of God is, do not fear. Do not fear. Everybody say, do not fear.
Do not fear.
Because fear comes to us in all different shapes, sizes, and forms. We think fear is just something like, you know, kind of like a walking dead thing. Boo, I'm scared. Fear comes in jealousies. Fear comes in insecurities. Fear disguises itself in apprehensions, mistrust, suspicion. It comes in all different ways. Fear knows how to camouflage itself. It knows how to be as a chameleon. It changes according to the circumstance and situation. And the enemy knows how to go into our past and look up our records and find things and then bring it into our present and then make it seem like almost as you're still that individual, you're still that person. He's good with his familiar spirits. What's a familiar spirit? A familiar spirit is simply a spirit that's familiar with you more than you are of yourself. Things that maybe you have thought that you've forgot, but you've just shoved them under the bed somewhere. You've tried putting them away, and the enemy has a way of bringing those back. But again, let me tell you this morning, Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is Lord. If you live in the past, you'll die in the past. Jesus said, forget the former things and the things of the past. Will you not be aware of it? I will do something new. We serve a God of newness. We serve a God of expansion, going forward. He's not a God of going backwards. He always would say throughout the Bible, remember not the former things. The Apostle Paul said, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the call of the high calling of God. You've got to forget those things of the past. So again, these spirits come to us to remind us of the shame. Remind us, bringing that fear, that embarrassment, the rejection that maybe you experienced at a certain time in your life. And you might not even remember all the exact circumstances, but you might, but might not. But yet the feeling is still there. It causes you to be, well, you back off, where you feel alienated. You don't feel like you're part of the group. You think people are looking at you. You think that they know what really happened in your life. And I'm here to tell you this morning, the devil's a liar. The devil is a liar. But many times people, they come into the things of Jesus. What gets born again is your spirit. Your mind doesn't get born again. Your body definitely doesn't get born again. Needs to get born again. But it's your spirit. And what happens is you've got your soul realm, which is your mind, your will, your intellect, and your emotions that have controlled your spirit for so many years. Your feelings have told you how to feel, what to do, what not to do. It has controlled you. But now Jesus plants his seed inside of you and your spirit begins to grow. And there becomes the battle. Will your soul rule you or will your spirit rule you? Definitely don't let your body rule you. Remember that buffet line? Bible says, you know, it says, I buffet my body, not I buffet my body. Paul said, I buffet my body, making it my slave. Make it your slave this afternoon. But it's the emotions, it's the feelings, it's the things that we can't see. And to try to convince you that that's really you, and if it could convince you that's really you, it's as if that was still who you are. When the devil tries to remind me of my past, I say, I don't know who you're talking about. You're talking about somebody else. That's not me any longer. That was buried in the waters of baptism. That Bible says in Christ we become a new creation. Old things, everybody say, old things pass away. All things become new. Come on, tell the person next to you, all things become new. Well, how come I don't feel like it then, Brother Frank? How come I feel like I'm the same person? Because of those spirits, your soul, your emotions that are still hanging on. So you've got to be able to renew your mind by the washing of the water or the word like we heard this morning. My old friends, man, Frank, man, you're brainwashed now. You got all that Christian stuff, you're brainwashed. You know, I stopped to think about it. I said, you know what? I needed my brain washed out.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Yeah. I had so much junk in there, so many windows that were open and needed to be closed. God didn't want to just erase. He wants to get them off of your hard drive completely. Just don't want to put them in the trash bin and they're still there and you can pull them back out again. So you don't overcome, again, negative thoughts with trying to shove in positive thoughts. It don't work.
Yeah.
It don't work. Jesus was in the desert. The devil was tempting him. And he didn't try to Many times that's what we try doing. If I were to tell you right now, I don't want you to think about a big, hairy, black, mean dog. Don't think about that big, black, hairy, mean dog. Don't think about that big, burly, black, hairy, fang-toothed dog. Don't think about, what are you doing? You're starting to think. Yeah, thinking about more and more. But you overcome negative thoughts by positive words coming out of your mouth. The Bible talks about the word of faith is in you. It's in your heart. It's in your mouth, the word of faith. The Bible says life and death are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. The Bible clearly says the word is near you, in your mouth, Romans 10:8, and in you, that is the word of faith. Joshua 1:8 says, keep this book of the law always on your what? On your lips. Meditate on it day and night. That word meditate is not like we think. No. The word meditate in the original language means to murmur with your lips. Murmur with your lips. That's why the enemy wants to even use music, ungodly music. Have you singing those songs? Because he knows if you sing it long enough, you'll start identifying with what you worship. You'll become what you worship. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. 2 Corinthians 4:14, Paul says, it is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. Since we have the same spirit of faith, we also believe, therefore we speak. So when the enemy tries to come at me with those words, I can say, no, it is written, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. My Bible says, resist you and you must flee. I cast down every vain imagination, every high and lofty thought that exalts us. I used to think you couldn't change what you think. I'd read that in the Bible. It says it must be, you know, some kind of, you know, theory or it must be a parable. It must be a type and a shadow. When the Bible says, cast down every vain imagination, every high and lofty thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. It's got to almost be like a TSA airport security check in your mind. You know, a lot of stuff goes through there, but there's some stuff not supposed to go through there. And they don't turn off those machines just because they know you. Oh, hey, Pastor Frank. Hey, how you doing, Jim, man? What's going on? No, he's still going to... Oh, man, I forgot, man. I had that pocket knife in the back of my... You're going to still do the check. You got to have your mind. When those thoughts come through, they've got to go through a security check. They've got to go through it, and if it doesn't match up with the Word of God, what God says about you, what God says about truth, the Bible says whatever things are honest, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are truthful, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, let your mind dwell on these things. What has your mind been dwelling on? So I'm going to start by leading you into confession. Is that all right? Y'all believe in confessing the word? All right, we've got this little confession sheet that we use, and we put it in first person. I want you to just repeat after me like you really mean it with all of your heart. It's simply taking the word of God, and again, it's putting it all in first person, and it's speaking the word of God out of your mouth. People say, are you talking about, is that kind of like mind over matter? No, 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 it's the word of God over matter. It's the word of God over matter. Because many times we're telling God how big our mountain is. We should be telling our mountain how big our God is. You show me the size of your faith, I'll show you the size of your God. A lot of people serve in little g. I serve big G, big God. That said, all things are possible to the one who believes. What's impossible with men is possible with God. Only believe, the Bible says. Yeah, Lord, but you don't know my circumstance. Only believe. Yeah, but Lord, I was born on the other side. Only believe. Hey, I don't care about your past. Don't let your history determine your destiny. Many times that's where we're dwelling. In Lodabar, like the Bible says. That sounds lowly, doesn't it? Lodabar. That's where we're dwelling, and God wants to bring us into something new. Amen. But you've got to be able to change the way that you think. The battle that we're living in today in the United States, more than any other time period, is a battle for your mind. A battle for your thoughts. Is it any surprise that the Bible talks about that the God of the powers of the air, that's what the enemy is called. You've got airwaves going on. You've got microwaves going on. You've got GPS waves going on. You got music going on, Pandora. You got every kind of signal. Everybody's attached to their phone. You got all this, the power, the prince of the power of the air. That's what it says. All of this going on. So that's where the battle's at. Though it might be in other countries where you get arrested for being a Christian and the battle's more physical in nature, here it's psychological in nature. It's psychological warfare going on. It's the same way the greatest threat to our nation is not an attack from the outside through military force showing up. It's cyberspace attack. It's cutting off the grid. It's hitting our satellites. It's things you can't see of what's going on. It's stealing secrets from our national defense. Y'all hear what I'm saying? And that is an example of what's happening with Christians when it comes to the thought patterns. You say, because I don't see it, it mustn't be real. No, it's more real, the unseen world. So repeat after me, I renounce the spirit of heaviness.
I renounce the
spirit of heaviness. Come on, say it like you mean it. I renounce the spirit of heaviness.
I renounce the spirit of heaviness.
And I put on the garment of praise.
I put on the garment of praise.
That he may be glorified.
That he may be glorified.
I will bless the Lord at all times.
I will bless the Lord at all times.
His praise shall continually be in my mouth. The joy of the Lord is my strength.
The joy of the Lord is my strength.
This is the day the Lord has made.
This is the day the Lord has made.
I will rejoice and be glad in it.
I will rejoice and be glad.
You know, you need to get out of your bed in the morning and your body's saying, hey, get back in there. The covers are calling you back saying, we had a good thing going on. Why are you leaving us here? You got to be able to speak to your soul, speak to your body, let your spirit, now your spirit, see your soul's been stronger, but now your spirit needs to be stronger and begin to get stronger and dictate to your soul, your mind, your will, your intellect, your mind. Tell it what to do. I got to get up off in the morning and I just got to say, Jesus is Lord. Franco, I remind you, you are not Lord. He is Lord. And this is the day the Lord has made. And you got to speak yourself into happiness, to the joy of the Lord. Keep going. Say, I'm not lukewarm.
I'm not a compromiser.
In Christ, I'm not under the circumstances, but above. I'm not in bondage to my feelings.
I'm not controlled by my emotions.
I'm a winner.
I'm
not a loser. I'm a partaker of His divine nature. God indwells my body.
I run the race to win.
His power is made perfect even in my weakness.
I am a soldier of the army of God
that God is raising up to save this world.
Therefore, I have a sense of destiny.
I'll pay the price.
I'm giving my best for His honor.
Come on, some of y'all going down on me. You're going down on me. Come on, we've only been doing it for a couple of minutes here. Come on, a little bit stronger. Say, I'm a son of the living God or a daughter.
I serve a God of excellence.
I'm not called for ordinary.
I'm an heir of God.
I'm not just average.
I'm not just an old sinner.
I'm a new creation in Jesus.
I'm part of a chosen generation.
I'm one of God's people.
God is for me. Who can be against me?
I'm confident that God is for me.
I refuse to listen to every lie.
In Jesus' name.
All attacks are headed my way.
Are diverted right now in Jesus' name.
Surely goodness and mercy
shall follow me all the days of my life.
Come on, goodness.
Come on, mercy.
You're going to follow me all the days of my life.
I'm blessed and highly favored, the Lord.
I'm special
because I serve a great Father.
My identity first and foremost
is as a worshiper of the living God.
Just lift your hands up.
We thank you, Lord, that these are not vain janglings of words.
But Lord, we line ourselves up
with what we believe. You said the atmosphere and the earth will pass away. The atmosphere around the earth, that level of the heavenlies, will pass away. But your words shall live forever. Your truth that we read, Lord. I thank you, Lord. We're accepted. Say, I'm accepted.
I'm accepted.
Not rejected by God. God's not against me. I resist the devil and he must flee. I'm extremely loved by my Father. Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning that we are loved by you. We're not trying to get your love. We're not trying to perform for you. We thank you, Lord, that defeat doesn't define us any longer. Though we might lose at times, yet we're not losers. Though we might fail at times, we're not a failure. That you do everything new. We thank you, O Spirit of God. And everybody said, big amen. People say, Franco, do you preach long sermons? When you those preachers? I say, no, I have long introductions. Let me tell you, what's happening here this morning, what you just went through, is happening around the world. God is pouring out his Spirit right now in the nations in an unprecedented way. CNN News is not going to talk about it. Fox News is not going to mention it. Bill O'Reilly might not even bring it up. But let me tell you, right now, more people are coming in the kingdom of God. We are on the winning team. We are. He is fulfilling what it says. And it says in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit upon all mankind, and your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young people shall see visions. That's the way they tell whether you're old or young. You're having visions or you're having dreams. People talk about the book of Revelation. They will always want to talk about all the bad things that are going to happen. You know that Jesus is not going to, when he comes back, he said, will I find faith when I return? Can I hear an amen?
Yes.
He's looking for men and women of faith. He didn't say, will I, that he's going to reward you for knowing what the 10th toenail on the big beast represents. Everybody wants to know everything about the monsters and the book of Revelation. Let me tell you, the book of Revelation talks about an outpouring of God, a worldwide revival. Right now in Latin America, every day 35,000 people are turning to Christ. Every day. I just got back, just last week. I was in Colombia. Was in Peru, standing. Too bad we couldn't show the video, do it another time. Standing room only crowds on university campuses. Students getting extra credit if they came to our meetings. I'm talking about in the Harvards of the Harvard of Peru, what was considered Harvard of Colombia. President of the university in the front row, secular private universities, not Christian. President of the university, the dean sitting there, professors. And in one university, one place alone, we had a stack of cards like this. Over 550 students and professors signed up. They want to be discipled. They want somebody to pour into their life by the time we got to the end of our program. Teachers showing up, assigning their whole class has to come to the meetings. There they brought us on base of the right there where the Air Force is and the National Police that deal with the drug industry, work together with our DEA. Brought us right on base and gave us 2 hours to speak to between 450 soldiers. Wow. Leading officers, first two rows. When we arrived, the commanding officer greeted me, and as he was walking me to our speaking engagement, he said, listen, I'm willing to put my job. He said, I'm a Christian too, I want you to know. He said, I'm willing to put my career on the line for whatever you say today. I want you to say everything about Jesus. He said, don't hold back. I'm putting my jobs, I'll put it on the line. I don't care. We got to have those kind of people. Amen? We got to have principals of schools that are making mandatory for the kids to come to school assemblies. If you teach kids that they came from animals, and were we any surprise they start acting like animals? Animals are predators. People are preying on one another. We're supposed to be loving, loving people and using things. We're using people and loving things. Animals are territorial. People become territorial in their gangs and the schools and stuff. My old high school, number one most requested item in America today in high schools by teachers, number one, is not chalkboards, is not computers, is metal detectors at the door. My old high school, the teachers would get, someone would have video cameras changing of classes because of gang violence was so bad. But here in Latin America and around the world, they let us come and have mandatory school assemblies.
First Lady of the Nation of Peru gave our ministry a letter saying you can go in any classroom at any time, stop the classroom, share your testimonies, and talk about the things of God. Invite them to your meetings. They let us preach to those 450 soldiers. Like I said, for 2 hours, and the glory of God came in there. Hardened men, but by the end, they were soft, breaking before in the presence of the Lord. The second-in-command Department of Justice in Peru, this time we're talking about just last week, invited us to a special lunch. 3 hours he spent with us, just picking our brain and pulling out of us and say, how can we see our traditional families? How can we see the basis and our foundation of our nation restored or established, and it doesn't go the way of the United States? We don't want all that stuff of, you know, the confusion and the transgender and just reassigning what marriage is supposed to be like and the disillusion of families and everything else. We don't want that. Tell us from the Bible, what can we do? We spent 3 hours with him and it was over. He said, listen, I want you to come back and I want you to train all of our workers in the Department of Justice if you can. And, you know, we told him, I said, look, we're not against anybody. You know, we got a lot of hurting people in our nation. When you love someone, you don't let them stay in a hurting condition. You don't let them stay broken. All of us have junk in the trunk. All of us come from some kind of dysfunction. You know, you got a lot of, even in the church, you got a lot of what I call granola Christians, those that are not fruits and nuts or flakes. I mean, you got all kinds of stuff going on. But if you love someone, you don't leave them there. You don't put a Band-Aid over them. The fruit is in the root. You get down to the root. And people say, well, Franco, man, I was just born that way. I discipled a young man, that homosexual guy at Florida International University a few years ago, almost for 1 year. He never got saved, but he wanted to meet on a one-to-one basis. All he wanted was a father figure to identify his manhood. Sure enough, father, you know, berated him. His mother was harsh on him. You know, just all that junk, a root of rejection, made fun of in school, you know, came up and just bullied and has artistic nature about him. So that made it worse instead of better. By golly, if I want someone to do interior decorating my house, I don't want a car mechanic coming in. Give me somebody that got some artistic something about him. But our society, you know, just, and all this kind of stuff, the harshness, you know, against him. He's just reaching out, and I connect him with the love of a father, heavenly father. People say, well, Frank, I was just born that way. Okay, all right, if you want to take that argument, you're born that way, that's why you need to be born again. Amen?
Come on.
You know, we're all born a certain way, with some kind of leaning, some kind of bending, you know, some angle about us. You know, we're all born in some kind of sin nature, but we don't need to stay there. Don't need to stay there. And this is what we saw all in 1 week, thousands and thousands of students and professors and leaders of the nation. Even about a year and a half ago, they invited me to come in and speak in the Congress there in Peru, right in the Congress with the congressmen and the leaders. And they filmed it. It was on national TV. This is what's happening around the world right now. In China, 35,000 people, 25,000 in China are turning to Jesus, according to the government. We know there's a lot more the government don't even know about. They're cutting holes in frozen glaciers to baptize people. But it's slowly coming to our nation here, little by little. I bring you a report from the University of Florida. We live in Gainesville, moved up about 5 months ago, 5.5 months ago. We're living in Miami. Landed there, spent 5 years pouring into that community, turned it over to leadership, saw great work at Florida International University and a little bit at University of Miami, reaching out there. But I started hearing reports about the University of Florida, greenhouse movement there, and they're telling me all about it, and hey, can you come up and help us? Because right now, tonight at University of Florida, every Sunday night, between 700 and 800 students worship the Lord, church service in the middle of the campus. Right in the university auditorium that was built, University of Florida started off as a Christian Bible college. Most people don't know that. And they built a beautiful steeple on campus with a bell tower and everything, big pipe organ deal going and all that. And now we've reclaimed it for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Things have been spreading so strong. Right now, Sunday morning, all across town, there's thousands
that are gathering. We have our baptismal ready every single Sunday. People are getting baptized. They come forward to get saved. We take them right out. We give them a change of clothes. They didn't, you know, weren't even expecting this. Towel, and we take them right outside and baptize them. We have to have our Sunday service, get the Easter service. It's going to be in the O'Connell Center. Because there won't be enough room in the buildings there. It's already rented, ready to go. We're expecting between 8,000 and 10,000 people will gather. This is what the Lord is doing in the earth. He wants to do it right here in this place. The power of a decision of a few individuals. We don't need a moral majority. We need a righteous remnant. Because all it takes is a few individuals sold out to Jesus. Some of y'all heard this last time. I remember our first meeting in Costa Rica. We were there, and we go around the world planting churches on college campuses mostly that will affect the entire community, because that's where the movers and shakers are and the policymakers. You know, you look at it, only 1% of the world's population has studied on university campuses, but yet that 1% controls the media, controls leadership, controls governments, controls education for the rest of the 99% in the world. So that's where we go, because if you reach those, it'll spread to those around them. Right now, 19 of every 20 people who become Christians in the world today do so before the age of 25. After 25 years old, there's only one every 10,000. After 35 years old, there's only one in every 25,000. After 45, one every 50,000. So what does that tell us? If you don't reach them when they're young, it's much more difficult later on. Much, much more difficult to reach them. And advertisers know that. They always go after the youth. Everything's geared towards the youth. Close to 60% of the world right now is under, like I said, under the age of 25. It's not in the future of the world, it is. So I remember going to Costa Rica. We had planned our first meeting, evangelistic outreach on the campus. We show up there 30 minutes ahead of time to install the equipment and stuff. There was a line of students coming out the door of the auditorium all the way down the hallway. I thought we showed up at the wrong meeting. To my partner, what's going on here? He checked his clipboard. He said, no, this is our meeting room. We couldn't get into our own meeting. Students thought we were lying. They said, no, I'm the speaker. I'm the speaker in here. They thought we were butting the line, cutting the line. To be able to get in, we had to pass the equipment over the students' heads, because every seat was taken. The aisle students were seeing. You're talking about breaking fire codes. They broke a long time ago than the starting hour. Everywhere, students there wanting to hear truth. When all was said and done, about half of the auditorium stood up to give their lives radically to Jesus. We said, sit down. You don't know what it's going to cost you. We don't make it easy. Here in America, it's every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around, play just as I am for the 100th time, you know, just trying to make it as easy as possible. Matter of fact, many times the aisles are slanted forward. You just kind of get out and you're just going to kind of roll forward. And then, you know, they'll say, bow your heads. If you want to come to Jesus, if you love your mother, come to Jesus. If you love your country, come to Jesus. Matter of fact, you don't even need to raise your hand. Just lift up an eyebrow so I know. I see eyebrows going up all over here. Bless you, bless you, bless you. Now, we do it with every head up, every eye looking around. If you're going to be a Christian, it's going to cost you your whole life. Your whole life. Jesus said, if anyone, everybody say anyone.
Anyone.
Ask the person next to you, say, are you an anyone?
Anyone?
Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me, or else you can't be my disciple. He who loves mother, father, sister, brother more than me can't be my disciple. You're exempt. You don't qualify. All. My Bible says, Jesus said you can sum up the whole Bible in this one verse. Because a lot of places in the world, they don't even have Bibles. Don't let me start talking about Cuba. I've been going for 20 years. My brother knows them, and people will follow you back to the hotel asking you for a Bible. But Jesus said this. He said you can sum it all up in this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. Anything left over, you can do whatever you want with it. But I think that pretty much covers everything, doesn't it? And love your neighbor as yourself. You can sum it all up with that. So it's everything. Jesus is looking for everything Christians. But I've never seen more unbelieving believers as I have the last few years in America. They believe in Jesus as far as they're believers as far as, well, I'm a Christian. But they walk by sight, not by faith. They walk by feelings, not by faith. They walk by their circumstances, not by faith, not by really trusting Jesus with everything. Let me give you an illustration I gave the men last night. Everybody else can hear it. This guy in the 1920s used to cross the Niagara Falls on a tightrope. His great-great-great-grandson did it not too long ago on national TV on ESPN. He did it in crossing one small part of the Grand Canyon. And he would cross it, and people would be on the Canadian side, the U.S. side, cheering him on. You're the greatest. You're wonderful. We believe in you and all. And he'd do it with no nets, no safety ropes, nothing like that, like this guy did on ESPN. And one time, as the story goes, he asked the crowd, how many of you believe I can do this blindfolded? Everybody cheered. We believe in you. We trust in you. Yeah, you're the greatest. You're wonderful. And he did it. People going crazy. This was before the advent of television, radio. He was the man. Best thing since sliced bread came along. And then he said, how many of y'all believe I could do this thing blindfolded, turn around the middle, walk back? We believe in you. We trust in you. Yeah, you're the greatest. Walk out there. You're talking about any second, tens of thousands of gallons of rushing water inviting him to his death. Turned around and walked back. By that time, old ladies were fainting. I mean, they're just crazy. But the third and last time he said, how many of y'all believe I can cross this blindfolded, carrying somebody on my shoulders? Same response. We believe in you. We trust in you. Yeah. Yeah, you're the greatest. You really trust me? Yeah, we trust you. Yeah, we believe in you. He said, all right, who wants to be my volunteer? Did they really trust him? They really believe in him?
No.
Let me tell you the difference of what one life can make. They compared two families in history over a 200-year period. One family was a family of Max Jukes. He was an atheist, non-believing family, while the other family was that of Jonathan Edwards, a committed Christian leader. Here was the difference between the two families over 200 years in which the families produced. Max Jukes married an atheist woman, had 560 descendants, 310 died as paupers, 150 as criminals, 7 were murderers, 100 were drunkards, 1/2 of the women were prostitutes, and it cost the U.S. government in the 19th century $1.25 million to care for this because of one choice. I'm going to live for myself. I'm going to live for the unholy Trinity, me, myself, and I. Idolatry. I is always at the beginning. Always at the beginning. That's what God wants to root out, wants to eradicate from our lives, the idolatry. Is money your God? Is your career your God? Whatever you think about more than anything else, that's your God. I'll say it again. Whatever you think about more than anything else, that becomes your God. So here, I mean, that'd be like billions of dollars now. But here's Jonathan Edwards, married a godly woman, had 1,394 descendants, 295 graduated from college, 13 college presidents, 65 became professors, 3 U.S. senators, 3 state governors, 30 judges, 100 lawyers, 56 doctors, 75 military officers, 100 missionaries, preachers, and authors, 80 held public office, 3 became mayors, and 1 a comptroller of the U.S. Treasury. How about your life? It's not all about you. It's not all about me. It's about what kind of legacy are we going to leave behind. You see, in our nation right now, we have a lot of celebrities, but very few heroes. I'll tell you the difference between a celebrity and a hero. Celebrity just means you're well known. Got a lot of those out there. Hero means your life's worth emulating. It's worth following. It's worth imitating. And we need some heroes once again. Let me show you one scripture, and then we're going to go home here. In James chapter 1, turn quickly. Instead of starting with a scripture, we're going to end with a scripture. James chapter 1. Because here's what it's going to take for you to be this kind of godly leader. People say, well, I don't know if I'm called to be a leader. You know what? If Christians don't lead, somebody's going to lead. The pornographers are going to lead. Atheists are going to lead. Terrorists are going to lead. Every other group wants all the earth. Communists want all the earth. ISIS wants all the earth. And Christians want to fly out of here. They're doing rapture drills all the time. Jesus wants to bring the kingdom on earth as it what? As it is in heaven.
He wants to bring some heaven here on earth. I'm not as concerned about the sweet by and by. That's going to be nice. I'm concerned about the nasty now and now. This is where we need some heaven here. James chapter 1, beginning of verse 2, it says, consider it all joy. Everybody say, consider all joy. When you get a brand new house, my brethren. Consider all joy when you get that raise on the job. And that, we'll consider all that joy, yeah. Consider all joy when you finally find Mrs. Perfect. I don't know if that'll happen. Mr. Right, man. He's the perfect one. I know I found my husband. No, consider all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Now, why would you have to consider it all joy? Give me a break. What is it talking about there? Those are the kind of things I just ripped that out of my Bible. Throw that away. I don't want that part of it. No. That's what people start doing. Well, I don't agree with that. Tear that up. Well, I don't know. I don't think that's true. Next thing you know, you're just going to have the maps and two flaps there. Start tearing things out. I don't look at what people's highlighting in their Bible. I look at what they're not highlighting in their Bible. That's probably what they really need, what they're not putting all them colors and things on it. Consider all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces. Everybody say produces.
Produces.
It's producing. How can you consider it all joy when you go through stuff? We all go through stuff. How could you consider that joy if you know if it's producing something? In the world, they go through stuff. It doesn't produce other than get more angry, more frustrated, more irritated, more grouchy. You ever know those people, they get older, they get more cynical, critical, sister doodad, you know, going to argue with brother Brillo pad over there, and they're rubbing each other the wrong way, and, you know, sister sandpaper over there is, you know, she's rubbing you from behind wrong, and always some, you know, instead of getting sweeter, fruit of the Spirit is supposed to be growing on the inside of us. But that's the way the world is. It shouldn't be that way in the church, because we consider all joy when we encounter various trials, knowing the testing of your faith produces endurance. Let endurance have its perfect result. So you know that's possible that if you don't, that you could not let endurance have its perfect result? What happens then if you don't let it? I mean, it wouldn't say that if it wasn't possible. You could actually stop the process of God. You know what happens? You stay in second grade. You're like that Schwarzenegger film years ago. You had to go back to elementary school or something. I skipped a grade, and here's a big old man sitting with the little kids. And Lord will keep you in second grade. It's not, you know, no child left behind. No, he'll leave you there until you're ready to graduate and move on. And some people stay at the same level. They're growing, and they stay at the same level for years. Very little growth because they don't consider it joy. They don't do what it says here. Let the endurance have its perfect result. Let it do something on the inside of you. It's not the trial that produces it. It's how you respond to the trial. Y'all didn't catch that, but one brother back there. It's not the trials or the testings that produce it in and of itself. It's how you respond to them will determine if you got the goods. Write this down. You're no good until you got the goods. See, we look at what we're going through. Jesus looks at where he's taking us to. We want to quickly go up. Jesus wants us to quickly grow up. Let endurance have its perfect result. You may be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. So closing statements. Your ultimate victory in life is determined by how well you handle the breaking points of life. It's not what's on the outside that will defeat you. It's what's on the inside. The frustrations of life reveal what's on the inside. Chuck Yeager in 1947, actually, more specifically, October 14th, 1947, he broke the sound barrier. Why didn't any pilot ever break the sound barrier before? Because they say right before you break the sound barrier, the shaking, the testing, the trials, You feel like you're going to throw up and die over and over the closer you get to the sound barrier. I mean, your head feels like it's going to explode. Your capillaries even can begin to burst. Your eardrums are ringing so loud that mostly guys will pull back at that point. Saying, why keep going? It's getting worse. I'll back off. How many here this morning, you've made a peace treaty with the enemy of your soul? The Lord wants you to break through, but it's gotten worse, so you back off. Wow, I knew you couldn't break through that. I'll just settle in Lodabar where I'm at. But Chuck Yeager said there's got to be something beyond that. He saw with eyes of faith, and as soon as he broke through, poo! You hear that sound. Maybe you've heard it before being outside. What is that? It's a jet. Probably from Valdosta, flying over their Air Force Base, Moody Air Force Base, breaking the sound barrier. And then what happens is everything becomes calm after that. It becomes actually better than before you went through it. God wants to bring many here into a place of rest in your soul. But you've got to break through. I'll say it again. Your ultimate victory in life is determined by how you handle the breaking points of life. If there's no water in this bottle, I could shake it all day long. None's going to come out. But if there's water, what's coming out?
Water.
Water's coming out. The shaking didn't create the water. The shaking did what? Exposed what was in there. So when pressure's put on your life, you have one of three responses. Write this down. This is your dessert. Write this down. One of three responses. In the number one, you can be in denial. Pressure has a way of exposing cracks. You put pressure on the sidewalk out there, cracks will be exposed. Cheap labor, what did they use? What kind of material? You know, they cut corners on the sand, cement mixture, whatever. Buildings, shaking goes up, pressure from a storm, hurricane. You find out, man, they use Chinese drywall, man. What's going on, man? Now I got to sue them. We all got cracks that will be exposed. God wants you to see the cracks. But you're in denial. Everybody can see it. He's jealous, man. He's insecure. No, I'm not. No, you. What are you saying? No, anger. It's coming out. No, I'm not an angry person. I don't have an anger problem. In denial. You're denial. You know, you can't see the back of your head. Everybody look at somebody's back of their head right now. Look at the guy in front of you. They should have combed it. Maybe they got a bug crawling around in there. Some dandruff or something going on. Take somebody else to be able to see it. But no, what are you saying? I didn't comb my hair. What are you saying? There's a bug crawling. What are you saying? We're in denial. Or number two, the cracks show up and you start blaming everybody else. Well, it's my boss's fault. If he paid me more, I wouldn't be this way, woman. Yeah, right. My daddy, if he was around. Yeah, those things could have exasperated it. Accelerate, made it work, but still, if nothing's in there, it's not going to come out. Let all the shaking come about. Let it happen. Always play the blame game. Somebody else, a victim of my circumstances. It's because of what happened when I was a kid. If that wouldn't have happened to me, that, well, again, like I said at the beginning, you can live in the past, but you'll die in the past. Jesus didn't call you to live in the past. Matter of fact, he wants to turn the setback into a setup. Your tombstone into a stepping stone. Your scar into a star. The further you pull an arrow back when you're deer hunting, what happens? The further it's going to shoot. The further you go down, and it's in March Madness right now, the players that go down the furthest are the ones that can jump the highest to dunk it. So what seemed like was a setback in your life can actually be to your advantage, an indicator of where God wants to be able to send you. But you got to get to the third spot. Pressure shows up, cracks show up, you take responsibility. Say, Lord, yes, these circumstances put the pressure, but Lord, I recognize that if you allowed this, it must be because you want to put something on the inside of me that's lacking. And you humble yourself before the Lord and you take responsibility. Say, Lord, take this out of me. I don't want to be this way anymore, Lord. I don't make excuses for it, Lord.
Yeah, she was nagging me, Lord. Deal with her over there for all her nagging. Like a drippy faucet deal you talk about in Proverbs over there, Lord. But Lord, how I reacted, respond, Lord, deal with this in my life. Get it out, uprooted. And the Twin Towers came down September 11th. You ask the average person why they came down, they give you the simplistic answer. They say, well, two jets ran into those towers. When they excavated the rubbish, they found that those towers were built in the early 1960s. To actually withstand a hit, they found the infrastructure, the architectural designs, early 60s, to actually withstand a hit from a 727 or a 737 jet. They didn't believe there'd be a terrorist attack. They thought maybe a low-flying plane, an accident would happen or something like that. What I believe ran into those towers was a 757 and a 767. What does that tell us? What the infrastructure on the inside of those towers were able to handle, those buildings, edifices, what they could handle one generation, few decades, a handful of decades later, wasn't strong enough for the greater pressure. God wants to promote many people in this place, but your infrastructure is not there yet. That's why if you'll let him grow you up, then he can take you up. Let's bow our heads. It's interesting that Forbes magazine came out with an article recently and said that Fortune 500 companies, when they hire CEOs, 90% of the CEOs they hire them because of their talent. But almost the same amount they get fired because of a lack of character, a lack of integrity, a lack of something that was exposed. As pressure increased on the job, they noticed there were fault lines on the inside. What are the fault lines in your life? What are the areas that you've either been in denial or you've been blaming others? There's the Holy Spirit wanting to bring those things to the surface. The harder you squeeze a carrot, the more that the juice will come out, or an orange. So maybe you've gone through some squeezing. Food that doesn't take long to cook usually doesn't taste very good. That's why you got to dip it in all those sauces, that raw veggies and all that. But you put something in a slow cooker, cooking overnight. Maybe you've been in that slow cooker. You've wondered, why? Why me? The greater the preparation, the greater the process for promotion. Preparation, process, promotion. So Lord, we thank you that you expose things because you love us so much. You said, whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. And he disciplines every son in whom he receives. You said, so we may share in your holiness. And Lord, you have called us not just to go to heaven. You've called us to be conformed into the image of Christ here on earth. You're preparing us for things even after this life. It takes Jesus to follow Jesus. So we're asking for more of your grace. You said we do not have a high priest who can't feel what we feel with our weaknesses, but one who is tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come near to the throne room of grace to find mercy and receive grace to help us in time of need. There's no expiration on when that ends. There's nothing that says how many times you can come to him and not come to him. May you come to him every day, 10 times a day if need be. Lord, I'm coming near to your throne of grace. I need more grace that brings divine help to make me do and help me do what I can't do in my own ability. If I could do it, then I'd be the Savior and it would take glory away from you. But Jesus, you're the Savior. So we come to you now, Lord. Uproot these things. I don't want to be this way anymore. I don't want to think that way anymore. Lord, I give you full access. Nothing's off limits. Go into the basement of my heart and into the attic with your flashlight of truth. You said we will know the truth and truth would set us free. We thank you, Lord. Thank you today. Deliverance comes because of truth for your glory and honor. Amen. Give the Lord Jesus a big hand clap. Come on, don't patty cake. You could do better than that. Thank you so much. It's been a real, real privilege being here. If there's anyone that wants to sign up for our newsletter or anything about Victory Missions, anything like that, just let us know and just give us your email address, phone number, whatever, and we'll stay in contact with you. I said yesterday, men, I didn't say it today, man. I love your pastor and his wife. He's been a great traveling partner and roommate as well. I taught him something he never knew. I thought he knew everything. In the middle of the night when you go to the bathroom in a hotel with a roommate, you don't flush the toilet. That's an alarm clock. I don't need an alarm clock at 2:30 in the morning. You wait, and then in the morning you do it.
I learned that.
Thank you so very much. Appreciate it.
Amen.